Welcome to the Best Ever You Show with your host, Elizabeth Hamilton Garino. Elizabeth is the CEO and founder of the Best Ever You Network, a leading multimedia provider of lifestyle content. The Best Ever You Network, helping you live your life to the fullest. It's where you'll find inspirational and encouraging stories, advice, and information with our radio show, printed magazine, websites, community, and more. Real people, real advice, real places, real products and businesses, real life stories, and more, including real celebrity life. Be your best and keep it real. Confident, successful, caring, and beautiful every day with Best Ever You. Now, here's your host, Elizabeth Hamilton Garino.
Okay, everybody, put down your Doritos, put down your chip, put down your Snickers, soda pop, anything that you have in your hand that could be fattening or very unhealthy and very non-fitness, because we've got a really cool guest with us today. We have Carlos Salati, who is a, you know what, I'll read your bio in a minute, but you're a total fitness and health guru. Welcome to the show. Hello.
Hello, Elizabeth. Thank you very much. It's great to be here. So I'm looking forward to it very much.
Yeah, thanks for being here. So we're going to be on the air for an hour, and it looks like you've spent about the last maybe 14 or 15 years of your life totally dedicated to improving, I'm fumbling my words. I've been talking for an hour already prior to this at the school. All about fitness and human performance and things like that. Was there something, we'll go into more of your bio as the show goes on, but is there something about you that changed 14 or 15 years ago that prompted you to focus on this?
So previous to that, for about those 5 or 6 years previous to then, I had just been kind of on my own personal journey to improve my own health and fitness and wellness and so forth. And that's when I realized, so it was around 14, 15 years ago, is when I realized that I had this huge, massive passion for health and fitness, and that it was basically what I wanted to do for the rest of my life. I kind of had this little epiphany that I wanted my career to be my passion. And that's when I thought that, you know what, this is kind of what I got to do for the rest of my life, is, you know, help people kind of find what I've been finding. And yeah, it's been growing ever since, and my passion for it has grown ever since. And every day I love it that much more. So it's been pretty cool.
Yeah, that just brought the biggest smile to my face. Keywords there. When your job becomes your life and you find that passion, that's kind of what Best Ever You is to me. So neat when you find, isn't it a totally different vibe when you find that momentum and that passion? It just completely changes your world. So it's fitness for you. And I'm looking at a picture of you, and holy wow, you're totally in the buff zone. My arms jiggle. So we're going to have to, like, work on my arm jiggle. There's still, you know, I'm one of those people who I talk a great fitness game. I can say, oh, I'm going to lose 20 pounds. I'm going to lose 20 pounds. A year later, the 20 pounds are still there and 5 more added, or I'll take 10 off. Or I have not found my fitness groove yet. And I think a lot of us moms, I'm going to read your bio, but I'm going to keep talking.
Sure.
A lot of us moms, you know, I'm a mom of 4 kids, and I think a lot of
us
never, thank you, but they're older and I have no excuse. And I've never gotten my, you know, my fitness groove back. I think I was pretty buff before I started having kids, and now I jiggle. Is it something that you just have to put your mind to? And I'm not, you know, totally overweight or anything. I jiggle, and I think a lot of people stay in that 20-pound overweight zone when you could lose 20 pounds and be completely buff. Is there something that kicks into gear that you just have to do?
It's definitely a different mindset. I mean, it's not only from an exercise standpoint. You've got to kind of tackle it from exercise, from nutrition, and even just from a stress standpoint, making sure you're getting enough sleep and that you're managing your stress and so forth, because that can play a huge role in it too. And being a mom of 4, I'm sure you kind of have your moments where you kind of feel a little bit overwhelmed. So it's a matter of kind of managing those three. But in terms of exercise, it really is just it has to become kind of part of your life, where it's a matter of, it's, you know, your workout is kind of booked into your schedule, just like any other, like a doctor's appointment or any other appointment that you wouldn't miss would be. And
it's really only until
kind of that happens that, you know, things kind of really start becoming consistent.
Yeah. Now, I'm making it a little bit personal, but I'm sure the questions I ask pertain
sure.
to a lot of different people.
Absolutely.
It seems like for me, for example, I get up in the morning and that seems to be my exercise time. But I can't listen to this. My time that I'm waking up is like 5:30 in the morning. That's
yes.
a strange time to be exercising for me. I look around, I'm like, you know, you can hear the crickets chirp. I'm like, I'm going to wake the whole house up. Or is it really that safe to go outside, you know, kind of thing. So I kind of sit there and I'm like, okay, I'll go down to the computer, or I'll do whatever. And then the day passes and I haven't exercised. So is that a cue that I'm missing? Like if you hear yourself going, oh, this is my exercise time, do you pay attention to that or do you ignore it?
I think that's definitely like a decent time to be working out. Like I have absolutely no problems working out in the morning. I actually think that's probably the best time to do it. And I think that's probably something, you know, when you kind of have that little, this is my exercise time voice in your head, kind of listen to that. But in terms of your situation where you're waking up and it's, you know, you're not sure about going outside or so forth, you know, you can easily get in a workout, you know, anywhere in your house too. And
yeah.
you don't even need any equipment. I mean, you know, you don't need much equipment just to do kind of body weight squats, to do push-ups, little things like that. And you can actually get a pretty good workout. I mean, jumping jacks don't take up a lot of room. So it's, you know, it's not even a matter of, you know, okay, it's kind of dark and cool outside. I don't necessarily want to go out there.
Excuses, though. You're blowing my excuses.
That's because I've heard many over the years. So I've gotten used to dealing with them.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. Okay, so I'm going to attempt really quickly here to read your bio to make sure everybody knows really how neat
sure.
it is to have you on the call. Okay, you're the co-founder and president of Total Performance Fitness Consultants. And like we said, you've been around here doing this for about 14 or 15 years. But you also mm-hmm. have all of these degrees. And at the end of this, tell me what all of this means. You earned your
sure.
B, PhD, and your MSc, I hope I'm reading that right, from the University
yeah,
of Toronto.
That's right.
You're also a certified strength and conditioning specialist under the NSCA and a level one NAT
yep.
and reformer instructor from, is it Stott or Stott? I don't know
right,
which one of those
yep.
Pilates. Stott. I thought it was Stott Pilates. A level
yep,
two practitioner,
right.
and this is really neat too, and not that everything else isn't neat, but this is cool. Level three holistic lifestyle coach. From the world-renowned Czech Institute and a CrossFit, which I've heard CrossFit, level one and endurance trainer. And you're an educated holistic nutritionist, too. So you really, when you said, I'm going to do this, you did it. Holy wow.
yeah. I mean, that's kind of, yeah, it's because it's just something that's so important to me. It's one of those things that if I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it well. And I'm going to make sure that I can offer the best that I can offer to my clients and just to the general population, whoever's kind of reading what I write or listening to what I say and so forth. And then what I realized early on with this field is it's, you really can never stop learning. The human body is just so complex and amazing that it's almost like the more you learn, the more you realize you need to learn. So every time I've taken a course or gone through a program or whatever, there's almost kind of double on my list of things that I need to, like books that I need to read or courses that I need to take or so forth. So it's just one of those things that I realized that that's just kind of part and parcel with doing this for as a career and wanting to do it well. So, yeah.
Yeah, no, that's neat. And what about being a triathlete at the World Triathlon Championships? I mean, when was that, and what does that mean? What do you have to do to train for something like that?
Thank you. It was a while ago.
Yeah.
I did that back in 2003. Yeah. So I used to be a competitive triathlete, and it was actually one of my friends who convinced me who I raced with and I trained with. She convinced me to try out or to to try out for the team, for the Canadian national team, and I ended up making it, much to my surprise. I was fortunate enough to make it, and it was a dream come true to represent my country at the World Championships. They were in New Zealand that year, so it was even better. I got to go to New Zealand, and it's a fantastic place and a great place to race. So it was definitely one of the highlights of my life, and something that, I'm very, very happy I was able to do. And I learned a ton from doing it. So the experience that I've gotten from that has definitely helped me out with coaching many of my clients and athletes.
Oh, I bet. What do you have to do to train to do something like that? Is that like endless hours per day? I mean, that's got to be intense.
Yeah, it's many hours per day. So with a triathlon, because you've got swimming, cycling, and running, making sure you get in enough of each can definitely be a chore. And at the time, I was working on my master's at University of Toronto, so kind of working on a master's thesis and training for basically three different sports took a pretty big toll on me. And it was definitely tough, but I got it done, and I was pretty happy about it.
Yeah. Now, I'm on your website as I'm talking to you, and I'm going to spell this out too for everybody, but it's fitathlete.com. It's one of them, and if you have other ones, make sure and tell me that too, because I know there's a bunch of them. But fitathlete is fitathlete.com, and what I really like about this website is it's almost understated in a way. It's so simply you, with your bio there, and what I'm really loving too are all of the books that you've recommended.
Love that.
Yeah, what a neat, so you're really well-read, too, you can tell. If you go to his website and just click About Carlo, there on the left-hand side of that tab, there's a whole list of books that he recommends that are his favorites, and I can tell you from Canada because we don't spell favorite like that. And so, this is just really great, great resources here and a great way to contact you.
Yeah, thank you.
It's neat. Go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah, thanks. It's that's kind of my goal for the site was basically trying to give complex information simply. So I guess like the understated look of the site was kind of something that I wanted. I wanted it to project this simple approach. And if you go into my blog archive there, there's a whole bunch of different articles talking about just a wide variety of different issues with fitness, health, nutrition, lifestyle, so forth. And I really just try to make them quick reads, but at the same time, just try to make them very simple to understand. So taking complex theories and so forth and kind of bringing them down so that everyone can take them and apply them and just make them really quick. So because I know a lot of people are super busy, don't necessarily have a whole lot of time to spend on the internet reading articles and so forth. So it's just kind of a little quick thing. I usually post about once a week. I've just started doing videos. So, if people enjoy what they see there, they can come back once a week and there'll be something there every week. And then I also have my Twitter feed on there, I just kind of send out a quick little kind of tip of the day every day. So they can look at that as well.
Good. And I'm hoping that you'll – I don't know if you're a member already, but hopefully you'll come to the Best Ever You Network too, because I think we could print some of these articles in our magazine. And they
fantastic,
could
do it. Yeah.
Yeah, I'd love
to
have you in there.
Yeah, absolutely. Take your pick.
Okay. Yeah, so after the call, I'll connect with you there too. Of everything and you're busy too, but of everything that you do, what's your biggest – interest? Is it with children? Is it with moms? Is it with dads? Kids? What's your most favorite type of person to train? Or are you kind of everybody?
So I do actually kind of see a wide range of people, and there's definitely kind of each category of clients or athletes that I have kind of have their little thing that I just really find really cool working with them. So whether it's moms or dads or so forth. But if I had to pick one favorite, I'd probably say it's the young athletes that I work with. So they're kind of the teenage athletes. Just because they're just so keen on and really passionate about what they're doing. And they just got so much enthusiasm that it's contagious, and it's really, really cool working with them. Sorry?
Isn't that fun? I have a 16-year-old
son.
Oh,
yeah.
And I can hear your voice change, too, as you're talking. And he has just this year discovered football. And it has been so interesting to see him go from jiggly to buff. It has been just funny to watch because, he yesterday goes, "Mom, watch the guns show." I'm like, oh, gosh. It was so funny. I am just like,
good for him.
It was hysterical. So anyway, it is interesting when kids find fitness, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, it really is. And they really take to it, and they just become sponges. Like, they just accept everything that that you say, and they really follow everything that you tell them to. And especially I find with teenagers, the improvements almost occur at, like, a super speed. And so they just, like, for them to see things happen so quickly, just to get stronger so quickly and so forth, it's incredible. Like, they just totally just become a part of it. And especially when it starts at that young age, it's really easy for them to build life skills with this stuff to the point to where as they grow older, fitness and nutrition, it just becomes a part of their life. It's not something that they have to look to fit in or anything like that. It's just, it's kind of a given. Like, okay, well, I've got to exercise. So this is what I'm doing because I've always done this.
Yeah,
so it's
really,
really, really neat.
Yeah, and I'm going to go back to me again a little bit, and hopefully people listening kind of hear this in their routine too. I used to be like that. I used to be a gymnast. I mean, I used to work out 6-7 hours a day. But where did it go? Where did it go? Is it just that I'm too? I notice we talk a lot about being busy and no free time, and is it that I'm old, or is it my time, or what is it when people? I love it when people say, "I used to be." What is that in adulthood that goes away?
Yeah, it's a very good question because I get that used to be a whole lot myself. I hear that quite often, and I think it's just it's just kind of life. Life just kind of takes over and pushes exercise aside, and it's one of those things where you can miss a workout and you're not going to really see any like super negative effects of that right off the bat. So it's one of those things that, okay, I can miss a workout today because life's really crazy. And then all of a sudden, it just becomes easier to miss the next one. Then it becomes even easier to miss the next one. Now, all of a sudden, you've missed maybe, 2 or 3 weeks. And now it's harder to get back into the gym because your fitness level has come down a little bit and it's going to take that much effort to do it. And then all of a sudden now, you've come into a place to where it's way more easier for you not to exercise than it is for you to exercise. So, and again, it's hard to find time for it because we've just got so much in our lives that pull us away from doing things like that. But that's when, that's when I just kind of tell people that you really have to make it a priority and that you don't necessarily need to go to a gym. You know, you can literally, if you've got enough room to lay down in any room in your house or apartment or condo or whatever, or any room to jump around, you've got plenty of room to work out. And even if it's hard for you to make time for that, then you can even kind of be a little more physically active, where, maybe you take the stairs a little more often than you take the elevator, or if you're going to a shopping mall or grocery store, you park a little bit further so you got a little more time to walk. Or if you're a business person and you've got meetings, maybe you go outside and you walk with the other person while you're having a meeting. So it's almost kind of finding little sneaky ways to put in exercise if you have to.
Better than nothing. Is that right?
Exactly. And it comes out with starting with small steps. And once you get those small steps going, then the bigger steps become easier. Then all of a sudden the bigger steps become even easier. And then the even bigger ones are all of a sudden manageable and you can do them. And then now you're getting results. And then now things are happening. It really is kind of small steps. Yep.
Yeah. What if you look in the mirror and you feel like it's going to be like an act of God to get you even remotely in shape again? Where do you start with that? I mean, I've done that before, too. I mean, I had one pregnancy where I gained like 120 pounds. I was sick with the pregnancy and had toxemia and all sorts of stuff. And it's a real common thing to, you know, wind up with a 7-pound baby and, you know, 90 pounds on yourself. If you're sitting there and you look in the mirror, and there are people listening, I know, that feel hopeless, like there's nothing I'm going to do here. I'm already just way far past this. I might as well not do anything. What do you recommend for that kind of mindset where you're just, like, bummed?
You know what? It really comes down to that you just have to – you can't – so let's say you've got 90 pounds to lose. You can't look at it and know I have this whole – you can't look at the end goal and that, because that 90 pounds is going to probably look at as though it's some insurmountable obstacle to you. What you have to think is in terms of is that I just need to go for a walk. I need to go for a walk maybe for 20 minutes three times a week. And you look at that as your goal. So now all of a sudden, that becomes manageable. A lot of people can walk for 20 minutes three times a week. Like when you think about it, you know, even if it's, you know, how much TV do we watch a week? How much time do we just kind of sit down in front of the TV, you know, whether we're eating something or not, but we sit down for at least 20 minutes. Well, instead of doing that, you know, you can head outside and go for a walk. Or if you're in a place where you can't go outside, let's say you're in Alaska and it's freezing in the middle of the winter and you don't want to go outside for a walk, you know, even just kind of walking in place for 20 minutes. Just aim for small little goals to get yourself moving. And basically my whole thing with situations like that is setting yourself up for success. Because if you try to lose that 90 pounds, all you keep thinking about is that 90 pounds, all of a sudden, you know, you're not going to lose that in a few days or a few weeks. It's going to take you some time to do that. So it'll be frustrating for you until you get to the point where you can actually do that. However, if you look at little small goals that will contribute to doing that over time, such as, like I said, going for a walk 20 minutes three times a week, now all of a sudden that's a goal that you can see, that it's tangible, that you can do within a week. And within a week you can become successful. Now all of a sudden you've got some motivation to keep doing a little bit more, and you kind of got your inertia going in the right way where it's kind of pushing you to do things more. So maybe you just stay on that 20 minutes three times a week for a few weeks, and then all of a sudden adding in a fourth day isn't that big of a deal anymore, and it's another little small goal that'll get you closer. And then maybe you start looking at your diet a little bit. And again, just even with diet, it's just little tiny things that little tiny differences that you make. And before you know it, in no time at all, you'll start seeing results. And then all of a sudden, that's going to be extra motivation. Now you're going to start seeing, hey, you know what? I'm on this road to success. Things are working. And that's going to motivate you to change a little bit more. Then all of a sudden, you're at a point now where you're a completely different person and your life is completely different. And again, you're just continuing working towards that goal. And, you know, maybe in a year or two, you reach that goal and, hey, you know what, it took you a couple of years, but it's a lot better than having taken 10 or never gotten there at all.
Yeah. No, that's really good advice. That's kind of any time where I've ever gained weight in pregnancy and been left with that much weight, that's really the way I had to approach it, too. It's like, okay, this first 10 pounds is coming off, and then the next 10 pounds. And then, yeah. So, but I'm kind of more of an infamous yo-yoer, but I don't go up 90. I go up maybe like 10 and then down 20 and then up 10 again. Uh-huh. I'm funny like that. I don't know what's with me. I think I'm used to being in California, and I'm in a colder climate here in Maine. And so I can't find my year-round exercise kind of thing. So that's my excuse anyway. All right, so excuses aside, what do you think what do you think are some of the biggest problems in the way of, like, our overall society being much healthier than we are? We seem like we're an epidemic of obesity going on.
I think there's a few things. First of all, we live in a society where it's very easy to not have to move. I mean, if you look at kind of where we've come in the past 100 years, 100 years ago, we used to have to move around quite a bit. If you look at, you know, 20, 30 years ago, to change the channel on TV, you actually had to get up out of the couch. So, I mean, we've gotten to the point now to where you can actually sit down all day and pretty much get through your day. it's true. So I mean, it's just we really made it easy just to be sedentary. So I think that's one of the big issues. On top of that, it's also just really easy to eat poorly. I mean, you know, we've got a lot of kind of fast food options where choices are suboptimal, to say the least, but they're super convenient and super quick. So when people need something really quick, and they're decently priced. I mean, they're very inexpensive. When you look at economic times like this, it's hard to motivate someone to buy organic whole foods when they cost so much more. So, I mean, it's things like that where
Isn't that bizarre? You know,
it totally is.
It should be the opposite. Like a box of something should be way more expensive than an organic, you know, cucumber, because that's good for you. The other thing isn't. Unbelievable.
Absolutely, yeah. I don't know if you want to get me started on that. We might need 2 hours, but.
We'll have you
but
on
yeah,
again,
absolutely.
But yeah. Well, we're Best Ever You. I mean, for a long time now, we've been working with the folks up at Eat Clean and Clean Eating, and like Toscarino is going to be on the show.
Great.
And stuff. So we have a lot of shows where they're on, and the editors of the magazine come on, and we talk about clean eating and shopping the perimeter and things
Fantastic.
Like that. Are you a Shop the Perimeter guy?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, I kind of come down to it where, you know, most of my food choices, or I like to tell people all of their food choices, should be something with one name, one ingredient. So a carrot only has one ingredient. An apple only has one ingredient. Chicken only has one ingredient. So you know, if you can keep at least 80% of your diet to foods that have one ingredient, I mean, you're going to do actually super well. It's you know, if there's one kind of,
if
there's one
chocolate?
Bit of advice
what if
nutritionally.
One ingredient is chocolate?
You know what? If it's dark chocolate, so I like to aim for 85% or higher, that's actually not too bad.
All right.
There's not a whole lot of sugar in it. But I mean, as a little treat, especially just to kind of, you know, get your sweet buds out of the way, you know, a square or two of that a day, I'm okay with.
Yeah. But in all seriousness, you know, I also have really, really bad food allergies. I don't know if you know that, not about me, but really nothing goes in me that has any more than generally, I'm not a one ingredient girl, but I am a five ingredients or less person, you know, can have like water. You know, if it's a can of pears, the can of pears says like water and pears, you know, that kind of thing. So I'll be picky within my processed food if I have to go there, but you know, a fresh pear is much better than a can of pears. But,
yeah, but nonetheless.
But, you know, that for those listening who aren't familiar with Shop the Perimeter, I mean, it seems like it's common, you know, words to you and me, but what's Shop the Perimeter mean? So one ingredient, and what's that mean exactly?
Yeah, so it basically means, so when you walk into a grocery store, you've got a whole bunch of different aisles to go through. Now, if you walk around the outside of the grocery store, so it will... Yeah, I guess the perimeter of the grocery store. You don't want to walk around the outside. There's only cars there. But, yeah.
There
if you
they
walk
are.
Around
They're
the,
walking around outside in the snow.
Yeah, exactly. They're like, there's nothing for me to get here. What's Carlo talking about? Yeah, so if you walk around the perimeter of the inside of the grocery store, you'll find that's where you're going to find the produce. That's where you're going to find all the whole foods. And whole foods are basically foods, like I've said, that basically have one ingredient to them. You don't necessarily have to limit it to that. I mean, you can limit it to foods if you're buying something that's pre-made, but if you're doing, that's fine. But if you're doing that, try to make it so that it's easy to pronounce everything that's in the ingredients list. So, you know, if there's something that's super hard to pronounce for you, it's probably not that great for you and you can leave that. But, you know, around the perimeter, you're going to find, you're going to find the meat section. You're going to find dairy section if you're okay with having that. You're going to find produce section, which is kind of the big one. You definitely want to spend most of your time there. And that's where you're going to find the stuff that's going to be the least harmful to you and definitely the most beneficial. So if you stick to that area of the grocery store, you're going to be doing pretty good. If you do that, I mean, you've got most of nutrition down packed. It's hard to go wrong. And, I mean, you definitely, you know, it doesn't necessarily mean you'll have a 100% fantastic diet, but you're going to be doing pretty good.
Yeah, and how crazy diety are you? Are you like super like not a grain of bread will go in my body kind of person, or are you reasonable about it, or are you just like completely like nothing bad goes in your body at all?
For myself, I kind of look at my diet as though it's pretty reasonable, but yeah, everyone else who looks at it says that I'm super strict. And I can see that, and I definitely, yeah, I'm kind of one of those that not a grain goes in my body, but I mean that's just me, and part of that is that if I'm going to tell someone to do something to improve their health, like I'm not going to tell anyone to do anything that I can't do myself, and not that I tell people to be super strict as me, but if I can tell someone how strict I diet. Or how strict my nutrition is, then I can expect someone, at least in my mind, I can expect someone to do, say, 80% of that, and I feel okay that they should be able to accomplish that. So, sure. And that gives them a little bit of confidence in that. Well, you know, if Carlo can eat like that, then, okay, maybe eating, you know, like 80% of what he eats isn't so big of an obstacle. It's not necessarily something that's impossible. So it's more that, so I do it for myself, definitely, because I feel so much better doing that. And I've gotten to the point where I feel really good, and I wake up in the morning and I feel great, and I enjoy that. So I kind of stick to that, and because I just enjoy feeling good. But also just because in the profession that I'm in, I kind of believe I should be setting an example. And I don't like to ask people to do anything that I can't do myself. So
yeah, no, that makes perfect sense. I wondered okay, so sometimes we get fitness people on, and they are very detoxy, very juice and shake and everything. And for me, it overwhelms me, and I know it overwhelms a lot of people because, you know, we're just trying to break out of the habit of not eating red meat. And there's all these, you know, spinach juice drinks and protein shakes and all this stuff, and it's overwhelming. I mean, it really is to be sometimes, you know, sometimes – A fitness person is at a different level than somebody starting out, and sometimes it can be really, really hard to relate to when you're just trying to, you know, not eat a Twinkie instead of a ho-ho or something, you know what I mean?
Yeah, oh, exactly,
you change your diet a little bit. It's completely overwhelming. So I'm curious if I'm curious how you work – well, curious, first of all, what do you think of detoxes? Because they scare me, and I don't know if it's the right kind of detox or what. My idea of detoxing for me, and I have to be really careful because I have food allergies, my idea of detoxing for me is to, I for 1 week will eat just a whole lot of probably what you're supposed to eat, like fruits and vegetables and things like that, and chicken, and just very, 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 very clean, kind of like the way I think you're supposed to eat, but then you fall back into a bad habit of having a hamburger or a steak or some, or a baked potato or whatever because of the kids or, you know, just to have dinner. But that's what I do, in a ton of water. What's detox mean to you, though?
So there's a lot to be said about all that. So I do appreciate detoxes and what they can do, and I do think that they have their time and place with certain people, depending on what their condition's in or where they're at or how much kind of buy-in they want to do in terms of how much change they want to make. However, you hit the nail on the head by saying it can be so overwhelming just to see how many different ones are out there, and they can be super extreme too. And
yeah,
I mean,
people go on juice fasts for like, I'm not going to do anything but drink tomato juice for like 6 weeks.
Exactly.
Seem like that's healthy, but I don't know. I'm sitting here as just a normal person going, well, okay, Edna, if you want to drink tomato juice for 6 weeks, bravo. You know, I don't know. Is that bad?
Yeah, and that's where, so with a lot of that type of stuff, whenever I come up to people who do that, my first question is, so what is your reason for doing that? And sometimes, you know, there's these kind of extreme cases where, you know, the body is so much out of balance that you almost need an imbalanced approach to bring it back. So in some cases, something like that short-term might work well. However, 99.9% of the time, I'm not a big fan of kind of going super extreme like that, where you're just having tomato juice or you're just having lemon juice for a few days. For the most part, I'm not really. Yeah, exactly. And because the thing is,
that.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, totally. Yeah, because I mean, it's funny because in order to detoxify, the body actually needs energy. So when you're going on fasting detoxes like that, you're not actually supplying the body with a whole lot of energy. So I almost kind of wonder how well of a detox that might be. But again, in some cases, that is kind of the right approach, but it's more in terms of kind of extreme complicated cases where I'd look for stuff like that. I mean, in terms of the general population, if you think you should detox and so forth, I basically tell everyone just to do the approach that you've been using yourself. You know, if you just eat lots of vegetables, if you just eat really clean, your body will naturally detox. You'll get into colon cleanses, liver cleanses, kidney cleanses, a whole bunch of different cleanses.
Scary.
And if you want to get super complicated, you can look at stuff like that, but you have to be super, super, super careful with that kind of stuff because some of the ones that are out there, I'm just not a big fan of. There's some that are out there that are sound, they're really good, but you really do need some professional help when you get to stuff like that. And for the average person, it's a unnecessarily big step to take. Really, it just comes down to, just eat lots of vegetables. Have some fruit. Have some clean meat. If you do that, your body over time will just naturally detoxify. Even just working out and sweating. Sweating is a form of detoxification for the body. So if you can sweat once a day, you're going to get some detoxification benefits just from that. So it really doesn't have to be the complicated mess that so many people make it to be. At least, again, for 99.9% of the people out there. But, it just comes down to just eat clean, eat whole foods, exercise a bit, get a bit of a sweat going, and it'll be amazing the changes that'll happen to your body.
You know what? I have something maybe fun that we could do with Best Ever You and you to some of our listeners and readers and so
sure.
forth. Maybe in the community, what we could do is have maybe like a 60-day challenge or something like that. Doesn't cost any money or anything like that, but maybe we could have people challenge everybody to walk for 25 minutes every day or something like that. Just get moving. Just maybe two simple things or five steps or something. We'll have to think about it maybe after the call. But I want to share with you kind of what I've done and see what you think. Mm-hmm. And maybe we could, maybe it's good, maybe it's bad, or maybe you have some more ideas for it. But I've pretty much lost 22 pounds now. And so I've maybe got like 12 more to go to be like my normal like size 6. I get really frustrated when I'm like a 10, 12. To me, it's like everything on me is too big. My jeans don't fit or anything. And I actually did a pageant a few months ago, and I was at my size 10 weight, 12 weight, and I was just way bigger than everybody else. So I'm on my way down, work in progress, and just doing my thing.
There you go.
So what I decided to do was not be my training gymnast for 8 hours a day.
Good.
And because I'm 42, and that just doesn't work anymore. So I decided to walk just simply 1 mile every day, not four like I was, not seven like I was, just 1 mile consistently and at the same time or so pretty much every day, rain, shine, snow, hurricane, whatever, just walk. And then what I did was I decided to cut my portions in like half, just simply, I didn't care what I was eating, but instead of the whole pizza, like a slice or whatever, or half of the darn thing or whatever. You know what I mean? I'm capable of wolfing it down. And, so just half of whatever I was doing, just that simple change in my life dropped 22 pounds off of me.
Yeah.
Do you think that's reasonable?
Sure.
And water, too. Tons of water and no caffeine.
Yes.
Those were my things that I did. So I eliminated, I'm not a big caffeine girl anyway, but tons of water, tons of decaf green tea. I upped the fruits and vegetables, decreased the portions, and walked a mile every day and lost 22 pounds.
That's, you know what, that's fantastic, and it's obviously worked for you. So you can see, and it's super, super, super simple, right? So that's it's kind of what I was saying before, in that, you know, it's just those small steps. You start off just, you know, just walking a mile a day, but the key is that you made it consistent. So, you know, it was, you know, rain or shine, you did that every day at the same time, and it was like that was a constant for you. So you did that, and then you started changing your diet a little bit, and you added water. And it was just super, super simple stuff, but just little steps, one right after the other. You know, you set yourself up for success. You know, you didn't say anything big. You just kind of did a little bit, and then all of a sudden, you got some incredible results. So that's fantastic. Yeah, totally, yeah. Totally. I'm right in for that.
Okay, so now here's my stumbling block, because I think a lot of, you know, I think for some that might be achievable, so maybe we could do something like that in the community or whatever, and just maybe challenge people to do those five things or something. But now, for me personally, what I did is I've hit sort of a roadblock where I need to up something or decrease something or do a little more, because it's like my body's completely used to it. Is it increase the walking a little bit or keep decreasing the food? Or both? Do I need to turn it down another notch? Like turn it up a notch and down a notch?
Yeah, so, you know, eventually you're going to get to a point to where, you know, if you're always doing the exact same thing, your body will plateau for sure, because the whole idea, especially with exercise, the whole idea with it is that it has to be something that's new to the body. It has to be something that's different, that the body's not used to. Because if it acts as kind of like a little tiny minor stress to the body, then the body will adapt. And it's those adaptations that we want, those are the adaptations where you gain muscle, you lose fat, get lots of energy, and so forth. So if you're doing the exact same thing all the time, eventually your body is going to adapt to that, and now all of a sudden it's not a stressor to the body anymore, so there's no need for any extra changes. So I wouldn't necessarily tell you to cut back on your food anymore. I don't know exactly how much you're eating or what you're eating and so forth, but you do kind of need a certain base level amount of calories or food in general.
I'm not a starve myself girl. I have to eat.
Totally.
I am, that doesn't work for me. I tried that too. That doesn't work.
You kind of have to eat. You know, if you take down your calories too much, your body will actually slow down its metabolism, because it's thinking that, all right, I'm not getting
weight.
A whole lot of calories here.
I gain weight
and a lot
I do
of people.
That. That's buzz. Yeah,
that's super
count.
Common.
Yeah. Oh, definitely.
So that's where if you've already kind of cut your portions down a bit, I'd probably leave that. And you could look at it as, okay, maybe you start walking a mile and a half, maybe you start walking 2 miles. That would be fine to do. Or maybe even what you do is you keep your 1 mile a day, but you do that every second day. And then on the days in between, maybe you add some type of resistance training at home. So maybe where you're doing just some body weight squats, or where you're just going to sit down in a chair and sit back up again. Maybe you do some push-ups off of your knees, or push-ups off of a wall even, if you're at that point. Those are fine. I mean, there's any number of kind of body weight type exercises that you can do. I mean, try doing a minute of jumping jacks. You'd be surprised how much that jacks your heart rate up.
Jumping jacks. Oh, God.
What you can do is just change it up just a little bit. If that type of stuff doesn't really kind of stimulate you at this time, then maybe you just add a little bit of extra walking in. It in by a half mile or a mile at a time.
Yeah, I did an online boot camp. And
Those
are fun. I love online boot camps. But, it's usually, I'm sure this is a common thing too, as you age and so forth. I seem to throw my neck out every time I do too much crazy activity and things like that. So the old gymnast in me loves to rear back up and hurt my back or neck or something, because I do creak and crack around. So I found really good success with just sort of easy walking and things like that. And so we'll see. But, I love to tone and stuff. But I hope everybody listening gets that. Just move. I can hear you saying it. It's kind of a common theme. Just move and don't eat so much.
Results. Yeah, it's really, it's that simple. Like, I mean, I wish, I wish I could make it much more complicated and sell it and make a ton of money. But it, I mean, it's really just that simple. I mean, it's just if you just eat reasonably and just move, it's incredible what will happen to you.
Yeah, you can tell you got a lot of heart with you too, because no matter what, I don't think you're the type of person who could make up stuff to just sell it. I don't think it's coming out of you.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I wouldn't really sleep all that well at night.
Yeah, I have a hard time lying to people. Exactly. Yeah. Okay. So we've talked a little bit about a healthier society. We've talked about kids, and what do you think about nutrition wise? I know we talked a little bit about chopping the perimeter and things like that, but do you have maybe one thing that you think people could eat or do to improve their nutrition? Is there one thing that sticks out above everything else that people could do?
Yeah, funny that you asked that, because literally just about 2 hours ago I was having a conversation with a colleague of mine, and it was about just nutrition and just making it simple and so forth. And we both just kind of came up with it. You know what? If there is just one thing we could tell people to do, and it's going to sound way too simple and so forth, but, I mean, in the society that we live in, it would actually, if more people did this, it would make just a huge, huge difference. And it's simply just eat more vegetables.
I wasn't sure if you were going to say drink more water or eat more vegetables or not eat out.
You know what? And it's so funny that you said drink more water, because as you're asking that question, I was thinking, do I say drink more water or do I say drink more vegetables? But if I could add a second one on there, I would say to have more water too, because and actually make it just water. So, I mean, juices, pops, flavored waters, none of that stuff is the same as just good old natural water. And it's a lot of people kind of look at me when I say that, like, oh, I don't know if I can do that. And I just ask them, just give me a buy-in of 30 days, just making it where you just drink water. And first of all, it's incredible how much money you save. Second of all, after that 30 days, they actually won't want to have pop. They don't want to go back to having kind of sweet fizzy pops or lots of juices and that kind of stuff. They're happy with just having water. And it's amazing how much of a difference just doing that makes. It'll boost up your metabolism. Drinking more water will actually detoxify you just on its own. You'll get way more energy. I mean, your skin will clear up. You'll feel better. It's a fantastic, fantastic thing. And I mean, it comes right out of your tap. You know, ideally there's I like kind of filtered water. There's some bottled waters that I like, but I mean, again, you don't kind of need to go that far. You know, if you're drinking tap water, if you're in North America, it's going to probably be okay. So I mean, it just has to be that simple. So you just need to start there.
Yeah, my mom was saying, I want to lose weight and all this stuff. And I'm like, okay, well, I just own the company. I'm not like the expert and everything, but I am a life coach, so maybe I can help. What are you eating? And I said, but more importantly, let's start with what you're drinking, because frequently when I have guests on the show, Mom, we discover, it's like Soda Pop Central. And she said, well, I am drinking about 10 bottles of Diet Coke a day. And I'm like, okay, just stop right there. I don't need to hear anymore. And she detoxed. She didn't drink Diet Pepsi. I'll have to check in with her after we're off this and ask her if she's back to drinking Diet Pepsi. But I think she pretty much cold turkey stopped. It was like stopped drinking alcohol, but it was Diet Pepsi. And I mean, just Pepsi or Coke or whatever, but it was Diet Soda. We'll say it like that. And she wasn't drinking any water, just Diet Soda all day long. And she was actually starting to cough up black from and things in her throat and everything. And I'm just like, okay. So she stopped that. She feels so much better. But she lost like 12 pounds in 7 days or something like that from not having Diet Soda. And then the other thing we did in our house here is before school started, we have a ban on juice drinks in our house this year. Any kind of anything you would buy in bulk at a store to throw in a kid's snack or lunch at school because it's easy. And this year we've given them just water bottles. We have a bottle that we fill up with tap water and put it in their lunch. And we've saved not only so much money, but they've saved all the sugar. One little pouch of the juice drink has like 25 grams of sugar in it.
amazing. Yeah, it really is incredible. It's such a simple difference that people, or such a simple change that people don't realize the magnitude that it can have. I mean, my numbers might be wrong on this because it's been a while since I reviewed it, but I remember reading a stat where it said just kind of one can of pop a day increased your risk of getting diabetes by something around 60 or 80%. I believe it was actually 80%. So, I mean, you know, just doing that, and it's funny. So I actually get a lot of people saying, oh, but it's okay, I have diet pop. And it's funny. So with that, there's a lot of studies coming out now, and it's really just been kind of in the past 5 years that the data we're getting on this stuff is really coming out and showing true that artificial sweeteners will actually lead to weight gain. And
I heard that messes with your insulin in your body or something like that.
So it doesn't have to have calories to it because there, you know, you'll get pops that have zero calories to them. But because of the artificial sweeteners, don't mess around with your insulin levels, which will then lead to weight gain in the long run. So it really just comes down to just water. Just kind of stick with that for a little bit. And I mean, I usually ask people for a 30-day buy-in. You know, just give me a 30-day where you stay super strict, and then just see the changes that'll make to you. And then after that, you can decide yourself, you know, whether it's worth it for you to have those changes or whether you prefer having a pop a day. I mean, I'm not kind of here to tell people how to live their lives. I just want to educate people to let them know just how things can be and how good things can be and how simple things can be. And then after that, it's up to them whether they want to decide they want that for themselves or not. So
yeah, I love having you on here because your philosophy is, it's a real philosophy. You're not trying to sell us anything, which is lovely. Thank you.
Yeah.
And, but it's a real people philosophy. You know, you're like, okay, so get up out of bed and go downstairs and do some push-ups. The thought of it kind of gags me, but you know what? I probably will do it. Even if it is five in the morning, I think that will probably be really good for me because, I'm awake and I'm not, you know, I'm just sitting there and it's bugging me. And I can feel it's my exercise time and I'm just going to go for it. But you know, it's real, you know, it's simple things. You know, you don't have to subscribe to $150 worth of a shake system or anything like that. Just drink water and vegetables, guys.
It really is just, you know, it's that easy.
Okay. So we have 10 minutes or so left, just so you have your eye on time. Let's go into exercise a little bit and talk about these three things. And even if you hadn't mentioned them, I was going to, because I'm a huge, big fan of yoga. I'm probably an even bigger fan of Pilates because all Pilates is gymnastic warm-ups. It's the old thing we used to do before we got on the bars.
Very true.
And then it's true. And then whoever invented Pilates was a gymnast. And then CrossFit, which I don't know what CrossFit is. So what are those things and what do you think about all three of them?
Okay. So yoga, I'm a huge, huge fan of yoga. There's so many different types of there. I couldn't even begin to rhyme them all off. I'm sure I don't know them all. There's so many different ones out there. So,
what a beginner if you're listening to the call and you have no clue what yoga is, which many people are still afraid of yoga. Yoga's sort of mainstream and becoming more popular, but still people are like, okay, that's too earthy crunchy. Yoga, a simple yoga, what's the name of a simple yoga that maybe people can do? Because I've seen yoga where you sit in a sweat room almost, and that's not my kind of yoga. My kind of yoga is like, that's not my kind of, that makes me want to go eat pizza. My kind of yoga is more like, I can't even remember the name of this pose, but it's like laying on the floor with your hands and you're just kind of laying there asleep.
Mm-hmm.
That's my yoga. I can do chanting yoga even.
I saw on the news the other day there's laughing yoga. So there's just all different types.
In the room with chanting yoga, and this is me we're talking, and I got a case of the giggles in the middle of chanting yoga. Oh, that was funny. Okay, so basic yoga. Sorry to interrupt you.
Yeah, no problem. So probably a nice basic one for people to start off with that I like to suggest to beginners is a hatha yoga. And so it's H-A-T-H-A. And it's not really super intense. It'll focus more on breathing and getting a good stretch out. And I just think it's a nice kind of little intro into yoga for people where it's they're not going to really have to do anything super complicated. Most of the population will be able to get through a class. So I mean, I think that's probably a good place to start for someone who knows absolutely nothing about it and is just a true beginner, but just wants to try it out and get a taste of it. And the nice thing about it too is that we have like a basically super stressed out society right now where everyone's got higher levels of stress than what they need, and the focus of hatha yoga is really just kind of bringing that down and really just kind of focusing on relaxing and kind of giving you that time where you can start to kind of release that stress. So I think just that, and just in doing that, you can get massive benefits, because stress is just, again, we could spend a whole hour just on talking about that. So that's probably the way I would go for as a beginner, someone who's never done it before, just kind of looking to get introduced to that.
Could you do a YouTube for me?
Sorry?
Could you do like a YouTube video for us? Could you do like 5 of those types of yoga poses? So maybe we could post it on like Best Ever You or something like that, so people
sure.
could follow.
Yeah, that wouldn't be a problem. Mm-hmm.
Could you do that for me?
Yeah, no problem.
Okay.
Yeah,
that'd be neat.
Just kind of tape 5 poses, and again, so that could be something that you just do in your house.
How cool would that be? I bet that's going to be a big video.
Yeah, so that you do that, and that's your small step to start. It doesn't even have to be walking a mile. You don't even have to leave your house. You can probably do it in your bedroom.
Yeah, cool. Because you know, frequently when people want to start something like yoga or Pilates or something, they go to, you know, a store and they buy a tape. And you pop in a tape like that and you've spent $25 or whatever and you have no idea what you've just purchased. It just says yoga on it. And good Lord, those are tough. I mean, you can kind of get hurt if you do it wrong.
Yeah, okay. Totally.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
right,
no,
so
I mean, and that's kind of... Yeah, you absolutely can.
Yeah. And so, okay, so we're going to get some yoga poses from you. Let's talk, because we're running out of time. What about Pilates? Is there a beginner Pilates? Because, like, I bought the Windsor Pilates tape, not to promote a thing. And I could do kind of the beginner thing, but sort of.
Yeah.
It was hard. That was hard. I don't think that's beginner Pilates.
Yeah, I'm not too familiar with the Windsor kind of philosophy with Pilates. Like I said, I've been trained more in stop Pilates. But with Pilates, what I would suggest with Pilates is not necessarily going kind of the DVT route. What I would suggest is maybe looking to go to classes, because the thing with Pilates is technique is super important. And I've actually talked to a number of people who use DVDs. And I mean, if that's really the only way you can go, then do that. But if you have an option of going to classes, then I just find that's a little bit better, because then you've got someone who's trained watching you, making sure that your technique is good. And again, when it comes to Pilates, that's super important. So that's probably with Pilates, I would venture to go more that route, if that's a possibility. If you're really into Pilates, you really want to try it, and the DVD route is the only way you have, then go for it, and just kind of maybe start off with half of a class. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, maybe just start off.
We went through 10 minutes. Oh, my gosh. Can you believe that?
Wow.
We only have a minute left of this. Oh, my gosh. Okay. I'm you know what? We're going to have another call with you, because this is way too much fun. We've got to go.
Absolutely.
But Pilates, be real careful with Pilates, because that is gymnastics warm-ups, I swear. And being an old gymnast, that you really can get hurt. Yoga is more stretching. Pilates is moves and stuff. And I think the reason why we go to get tapes is so we don't get embarrassed in class because we're terrible at it. So anyway, all right. So I want to just thank you, Carlo, for being on the call for an hour with me. I can't believe we're out of time. But we're going to follow up in the network, you guys. Yeah, we're definitely going to do some stuff here. We'll do some articles and some videos.
Perfect.
And we're going to have, maybe you can be a regular guest or something, because it's been a lot of fun. So
sounds good. I've enjoyed it.
Oh, yeah. Thank you so much. And, okay, so for everybody listening, we've got to go. Go to besteveryou.com. Go to beynetwork.com. That's our community. And please visit Carlos' website, which is fitathlete.com. Have a great day, everybody. Make it a best ever you kind of day. And, you know, like I always say, find those shoe sales out there. Yeah. All right. See ya. Bye.